Hi everyone, and welcome to our presentation on an environment for interactive parallel programming with MPI and OpenMP. My name is Christian Terbofen, and I'm the HPC team lead at RWTH Aachen University in Germany. In a few minutes, you will see Jonas Hahnfeld, my co-presenter, who was also at Aachen University at the time we were doing the work behind this environment. Before I'm going to present more details on the environment that we have developed, I would like to present our motivation for doing this work. So at Aachen University, but also at many other occasions, I'm teaching parallel programming. But in general, more and more students and also fields of study are getting interested in parallel programming and data analysis. So the courses that we are offering at the universities, similar to workshops and tutorials, draw more attendees with each instance. So we have learned that learning success and the motivation of participants increase when they can learn and experience the effects of parallelisms themselves. And in many cases, we are lucky enough to be able to give access to many core systems, GPU systems, vector systems to our students or to our course attendees. However, we realized that we are asking some technical background when working with these systems. So we have seen that the technical barriers to access these systems is a challenge. Not for everyone, and I guess most people here are as used to Linux as we are, but for some. So what I'm trying to show on the left-hand side here is what we're asking them to do. So they have to access a Linux system via the command line. In almost all cases before that, they have to fire up a VPN. They have to either modify files on their desktop, be it a Mac or Windows, maybe even only a tablet or something like that. They have to modify files, copy them to the cluster, or edit the files on the cluster by using an editor like VI, for example. We ask them to use a batch system, so that means they have to build an executable and submit it to our cluster, get the result sooner or later back, or when they encounter an error, when they want to do a performance analysis and so on, they have to use many new tools in this particular environment. For example, they have to instrument their code, submit an interactive batch job, and so forth. So what I'm trying to say here is that before they can actually work on exercises, examples that deal with the parallel programming that I want to teach to them, they have to solve a lot of technical issues and problems and understand several concepts before they are ready to start. So what not all, but a significant fraction of these people actually is looking for is an environment like what I'm trying to show here on the right-hand side, which is a browser-based environment where you type in this case, Python code into the browser window, and you can see the result immediately, modify your code, come back, and so forth. So having said that, we set out to come up with an interactive C++-based environment to teach OpenMP and MPI code. So let me give you a few examples to actually describe what this is about. OpenMP is a de facto standard in high-performance computing for shared memory parallelization by means of threads and tasks. And MPI is the same de facto standard for distributed memory parallelization by means of message passing. So these were the two standards that we wanted to support. And many of you know Jupyter, which is the environment that I was showing two slides ago, where you have, let me call them, code boxes. Like here, you enter your code, execute it, and you get the result printed into the browser window. Jupyter is the framework, and then there are different kernels that actually take care of interpreting and executing the code. And we have been using Kling, which is an interactive C++ interpreter. So we did some work that Jonas will lay out in a few minutes to enable OpenMP. So that means you have to include a specific header to make the OpenMP API routines available and make sure that the OpenMP runtime has been loaded. So a little bit of kind of magic, but then you can type in interactive C++ OpenMP code into the browser and see the result immediately after the code has been executed. So what we're doing here, an OpenMP parallel region is a parallel execution. That means the OpenMP runtime creates a set of threads that is called a team of threads. In this case, I set an environment variable that's not visible here to ask for 4 threads. And then all these 4 threads execute the body of this parallel region. OMPGetNumThreads returns the number of threads within the parallel region, that is 4 in this case. And reduction means that this variable is being summed up by all the threads, but in a safe way. So that means in the parallel region, the threads work with a private instance. And after the parallel region, the runtime takes care of computing the final results. So if this is executed with 4 threads, the global sum is 16, which is what is being printed out here. And we have learned that this is really important as a tool in teaching, because it resolves all those technical issues and technical challenges that I explained earlier on. Because the students or whoever is listening to you can focus on the task of parallelizing and only when necessary later on learn the technical details. So don't get me wrong, this is not a replacement. Sooner or later, everyone has to learn about the technical details if he or she wants to make use of an HPC cluster. But for the sake of learning parallel programming, this might not have to be the first step. And we implemented the environment in a way so that almost all modern features of OpenMP are available. So here we are executing OpenMP tasks, 2 tasks. One is called task 1, one is called task 2. And with dependencies, they are forced to execute in a certain order. And then there's a task wait that makes sure that both tasks are being completed before hello after task wait is being implemented. So I don't want to go into OpenMP details here, but what I'm trying to say is that in such an interactive environment available in your browser, you can experiment with code changes. For example, when students have certain questions, you can rewrite the code to illustrate answers, and you can also make students interactively try out things and use it live, real time, whatever you might want to call it, in the teaching environment. And we didn't stop at OpenMP. We also thought about how to integrate MPI. MPI is different from OpenMP. OpenMP is implemented in a compiler. MPI is just a library, but we need a special mechanism to start the program. So again, in order to enable MPI, we need a header. Here's a function that's called exchange info, and MPI send and receive send messages from the calling process to another process. In this case, the other process is computed as an ID, which is just the other one, hence the name in the case of 2 MPI processes. Jupyter is limited in the native implementation or in the native facilities to start programs, so it would not provide a simple mechanism to start MPI programs in the way they are required to start. So what we're doing here is we write the code boxes, Jonas has more details later on, out into an executable that's called MPI.x. We have to link with the MPI environment, and then we execute it. Here we are executing a command on the Linux system that is serving the Jupyter notebook with 2 processes, and you can see the result here. So this was an achievement, but we didn't stop here, because if you know MPI, you might notice that the code I'm showing here has an issue. So in my group, we are together with other collaborators developing correctness checking tools. There's MUST, which is a tool that we own, and it supports the correctness checking of MPI programs, but there's also Thread Sanitizer or Archer, which are components around Clang that support correctness checking of multi-threaded or task parallel programs. So we also incorporate